As the trial of Chad and Lori Daybell nears closer, specifically Lori in the coming weeks, we're trying to give you as much context on the case as possible. So we're going back into the archives all the way to 2020, August 3rd and 4th, for the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13, so you can hear where it all begins in the courtroom and where it will pick up as the trial of Lori Daybell begins very soon. This is that hearing. Let's go to the courtroom.
Thank you. Please be seated. We'll go back on the record here in CR 2220-755, State of Idaho versus Chad Daybell. The court took a brief recess. It's now 10:45. The witness, Detective Hermosillo, is still on the witness stand, still under oath. We're still continuing with direct examination. Mr. Wood, you may continue to inquire.
Thank you. Detective Hermosillo, we were discussing your observations of the ERT team in an area that you've identified as a pet cemetery, correct?
That's correct.
For purposes of clarity of the record, I'm going to kind of skip back to a couple things. You've described Mr. Daybell's house as being in Fremont County, correct?
Yes.
And just for purposes of the record, that is Fremont County in the state of Idaho, correct?
Correct.
You described Lori Vallow's apartment complex as being in Madison County?
Correct.
And again, for purposes of clarity of the record, that's Madison County in the state of Idaho?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right, let's get back to where we were. You have testified that you observed the ERT team, and I guess that's redundant. I should just say ERT. The T stands for team. You observed ERT uncover the remains of what you believe to be a dog and a cat.
Correct.
What did you further, do you recall approximately what time of day that was? And yeah, what time of day was that?
It was early afternoon, I'd guess one.
Okay. While you were in that area, did you have a chance to further observe ERT excavate that area you referred to as the pet cemetery?
Yes.
Okay. What did you observe?
I had been away from that area, but when I returned to that area, they had already dug down and located what appeared to be a mass of burnt flesh and charred bone.
Okay. Do you recall approximately how deep down that was?
I don't recall how deep it was.
Okay. Did you observe ERT take that mass out of the ground?
Yes, I did.
Okay. This search that commenced on June 9th, did it finish on June 9th?
No.
Did it continue on to June 10th?
Yes.
Okay. When the search ended on June 9th, was the residence of Chad Daybell secured?
Yes, it was.
And do you recall, did you observe if security guards were placed there?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about June 10th. Did you observe that location? Let's go back to that pet cemetery location again. Did you observe any excavation being done on June 10th?
Yes, I did.
What did you observe?
ERT had gone back to the same spot where there was the mass of burnt flesh and bone and began excavating around that the best they could.
Okay, and what happened?
They were ultimately able to dig completely around the entire mass to reveal what they were digging up.
Okay. And did they remove, again, that mass from that area?
Yes, they did.
Did you see what they did with it?
Yes.
What did they do with it?
They put it in a bag and placed it in the back of the coroner's vehicle.
Okay. Were there any other identifying features of that in that area or as part of that mass that drew your attention?
Yes, there was.
What was it?
There was a melted green bucket that it appeared that the burnt flesh had been placed in. Under the bucket was a partial human skull.
Okay. Was that bucket and the what you've just described as a partial human skull, were those also, did you observe what was done with those?
Yes.
What was done with those?
They were also placed into a bag and placed in the coroner's vehicle.
Okay. And do you remember approximately what time those items were placed in the coroner's vehicle, approximately?
Afternoon, maybe 3 or 4-ish.
Okay. For the purposes of your investigation, did you...
The Ada County Coroner's Office with the remains that were recovered that day.
Okay. Did you, before you left to go to Boise, did you have an opportunity to go to the Madison Memorial Hospital?
Yes.
Yes. And what did you do there?
Recovered the remains found from the first day as well.
Okay. And you observed what you recognize as those same remains?
That's correct.
Okay. Detective, I'm going to call your attention to June 11th. What did you do in furtherance of your investigation that day?
We were at the Ada County Coroner's Office.
Okay, and let me stop you real quick. About what time did you get there?
We arrived there on June 10th.
Okay.
That day on June 11th, we got there in the morning.
Let's go back to June 10th really quick. When you arrived in Boise, what was the first thing you did there?
We went to the Ada County Coroner's Office.
Okay. Do you remember approximately what time you got there?
Evening.
Okay. All right. Now, back to June 11th. Approximately what time did you return to the coroner's office?
Early morning.
Okay. Detective, once you arrived on June 11th, what did you do in furtherance of your investigation?
Observe the autopsies of those remains that were recovered.
Okay. You've discussed two separate, I'll at this point call them items of interest. Did you recognize those items of interest again in the coroner's office?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And do you know if those items had been secured there the night before?
They had been.
Okay. What was the, once you arrived in the autopsy room, what was the first thing you observed?
The first thing I observed was the black bag that was covered in duct tape that had been removed from the area underneath the tree by the pond, was placed on the table.
Okay, and you recognize that as the same black bag?
Yes.
How did you recognize that?
The duct tape and the black plastic that had still had dirt all over it.
Okay. What did you observe? Who was with you?
The medical examiner was in the room, Lieutenant Ron Ball, head, arms, and feet.
Okay. Let's talk about the head area. When you looked at the head, what did you observe there?
The head had a white plastic bag over the top of it. It appeared to be a normal trash bag, had a red drawstring. It appeared to be the expandable type of trash bag with the waffle style pattern on top of the head.
Okay. And you had mentioned duct tape there. Where did you observe the duct tape?
There was duct tape that was tightly wrapped around this way, tightly from his chin to his forehead area. Several layers of duct tape tightly wrapped.
Okay. What did you observe the medical examiner and his team do with that material?
They ended up using a small sharp instrument and cut down the middle of it to expose what was underneath.
Okay, and when they exposed underneath, what did you observe?
An additional piece of duct tape that was stretched from jawline to jawline across the mouth.
Okay, and when you say across the mouth, at this point, were you looking at this child's face?
I was.
Okay. As you looked at this child's face, did you recognize this child?
Yes, I did.
How did you recognize this child?
From the hundreds of photographs and video I've seen over the last 8 months, I recognize that to be the same little boy that was laying on the table.
Okay, and can you, who was that little boy?
Joshua Vallow.
Okay. Were there any features that helped you recognize him?
Yes.
What were they?
He had the same style haircut that he had in the videos that I had seen and the photographs I had seen just prior to my welfare check with him in September, the last photograph I had seen on September 22nd. And that was shaved on the sides and longer on top.
Okay. Thank you. Were there any other items of... Were there any other items of interest to you on that body?
Yes.
Can you just... what were they?
His hands were folded about chest high.
Detective, can you lift that a little bit higher so people can see?
Folded like this, chest high. He had duct tape continuously wrapped from elbow all the way around his arms, over his hands, all the way to his right elbow. Several layers of duct tape that were tightly wrapped. And the best way I can describe it is he had a ball of duct tape over where his hands would be.
Okay. Was that duct tape removed?
Yes, it was.
And what did you observe after that?
His wrists were also bound with another layer of duct tape.
Okay. After that, was there anything else that caught your attention about the way this child was found?
Yes, I noticed that his ankles were also bound with duct tape as well.
Okay. After you observed that, did you observe the autopsy of that child?
I did.
Okay. Detective, upon the conclusion of that autopsy, did you witness another examination that day?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember approximately when that examination started?
In the afternoon.
Okay. What did you observe in that second examination?
I observed the same melted green bucket with the charred flesh and charred bone that was located on Mr. Daybell's property that was now sitting on the table in the medical examiner's office.
Okay, thank you. Your Honor, the state has no further questions at this time.
Thank you.
Cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Officer, I'd like to go back to the initial contact with Mr. Daybell.
Mr. Pryor, will you pull that microphone closer to your mouth?
I apologize, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay, officer?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to go back to the initial contact with Mr. Daybell. And again, in November, when was that date, sir?
The initial contact with Mr. Daybell was on the 26th of November, 2019.
At approximately what time, officer?
Early morning hours, around 9, I would say.
Okay. Was that contact recorded?
It was not.
Is there a reason why you didn't record that contact?
It's not common practice for detectives to carry body cams.
Is it common practice for detectives to record conversations with witnesses when you interview them?
It is.
Can you understand why it's important that an interview with a witness is recorded?
Yes.
And it's important to record a witness with, or an interview with a witness, so that we get the factual statements made by people recorded accurately. Would you agree with that?
I would.
And it's important that when we make statements and we make representations regarding statements that people make and observations, that they're accurate observations, right?
That's correct.
And one of the best ways to do that is to record those observations. Would you agree with me?
I would.
Okay. This was somewhat of an important case, was it not?
Not at that time. It was just a welfare check.
Okay. And then this welfare check turned into an interview with Mr. Cox and Mr. Daybell, however, correct?
Correct.
At any time, did you think that maybe you should have recorded this?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you record any of the other interviews with any of the other witnesses throughout your investigation?
I did.
And whose interviews have you recorded?
Melanie Boudreau's interview.
Lynn, let's stop there. How many times did you talk with Melanie Boudreau?
Objection. This exceeds the scope of the direct.
Mr. Pryor, before we go any further, I'm hearing a shutter. Can the media please turn off the shutter sound? It's impeding my ability to hear the attorneys from both the state and the defense. Mr. Pryor, let me go back there. Mr. Wood, the objection is based upon exceeding in the scope of the direct. Mr. Pryor, I'll let you respond to that objection.
Well, Judge, throughout his testimony, he made at least a couple of references to interviewing other members of the family and having conversations with them about various facts in this as part of his testimony with Mr. Wood. Quite honestly, if he's talking as Mr. Boudreau is one of those folks that he gained information from, one, I'm going to get into what information did he gather from them, and two, whether or not that's been memorialized in the form of a recording. So I think it is relevant, and I think, quite honestly, it's permissible inquiry in this particular case.
At this point, Your Honor, he's asking for hearsay information, and again, he's way outside the scope of what Detective Hermosillo testified to.
Mr. Pryor, as it pertains, I think there were a couple questions as to a search of an apartment that belonged to Ms. Boudreau. I think that there was some brief questioning about questions of family members. But as far as the depth of those conversations, your objection was that they were hearsay. I agree with Mr. Wood, they are hearsay. Tell me where you're desiring to go. If you're just laying some foundation or getting some information about the communication, when it happened, et cetera, I think that that's completely relevant and it's completely within the scope. If it's beyond that, tell me what your argument is.
Well, Judge, quite honestly, I'm not necessarily seeking the exact information that those particular witnesses provided to this officer. What I'm trying to seek is a timeline as to exactly who he spoke to and when and where he gathered this information. And as part of seeking that information as to who he spoke to, when he spoke to as part of this case, I would like to know whether or not that's a recorded conversation, so I am afforded the opportunity to look at what this officer testifies to today and compare it to what those recordings are. And I think it's important that I be afforded that opportunity. And as part of this, it's a preliminary hearing. Preliminarily, I would like to know whether or not this officer recorded the conversations.
With that, I will allow the questions pertaining to who he spoke to and when he spoke to them, whether or not they were recorded. But as far as the substance of those conversations, I will sustain the objection that Mr. Wood has raised as far as hearsay.
All right. You spoke with Melanie Boudreaux, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And how many times did you speak with her?
One time.
And when was that, sir?
December 3rd, 2019.
Was that as part of the investigation of the welfare check?
Yes, it was.
Okay, was there any other inquiry in there as to... were you at that point, had this moved into an area of trying to decide whether there had been any foul play with JJ or Tylee?
I was asking Ms. Boudreaux how we could get a hold of Mr. Daybell or Lori Vallow.
Okay, and that's to inquire as to the whereabouts of JJ at that time?
That is correct.
What about Tylee? Had it moved into that as well?
I did ask about Tylee.
Okay.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. Again, he's now asking for information from those interviews. It has nothing to do with the scope of the direct examination.
I'm not asking for information from Ms. Boudreaux. I'm asking what this officer did as part of his investigation. Judge, we've just spent 2 hours listening to this officer talk about all of the steps in detail that he's done as part of his investigation. I think, quite honestly, I ought to be able to ask some very basic questions about what witnesses he interviewed as part of that investigation. I can't even fathom how that's not allowable inquiry. And I think, quite honestly, I don't know if Mr. Wood doesn't want to give me the information or if this officer doesn't want to give me the information, but clearly I ought to be allowed to inquire as to what this officer did as part of his investigation.
As it pertains to the inquiry of whether or not Tylee Ryan was discussed, I'll allow that question. I'll have the officer answer that question. The deeper substance of that conversation, I agree, is beyond the scope.
Okay. Was part of your inquiry discuss Tylee as well?
Yes, it was.
So this had gone beyond a welfare check of JJ. It had gone to, we're trying to find out if there's any sort of issues regarding JJ and Tylee at this point. Is that correct?
We're trying to find their whereabouts.
Okay. And at that point, were you concerned about their whereabouts in
Yes,
December?
We were. Yes, we were.
Were you significantly concerned about their whereabouts in December?
Yes, we were.
Okay. Was that conversation with Melanie Boudreaux, was that a recorded conversation?
It was.
Okay. And you provided that to the prosecuting attorney?
Yes.
As well as a statement of your complete interview with... Judge, I heard a noise. I'm sorry.
I think it was someone's chair.
Okay. As well as a complete... dissertation of what that interview involved. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So in December, it was important that you record that conversation. What other family members did you discuss the case with? Let's try Garth. Did you talk to Garth?
I didn't personally talk to Garth.
You did not?
No, I did not.
Okay. Did you talk to Emma?
I did not personally talk to Emma.
Did you talk to Melanie Gibbs?
I did talk to Melanie Gibb.
You did?
Yes.
How many times?
By what date, sir?
How about from the time you started investigating this in November until yesterday?
Your Honor, this is far beyond the scope of the direct. A preliminary hearing, as the case law states, it's in no sense a trial. Not a trial. It does not require the same formality and precision observed at a trial. The state is not required to put on every bit of evidence it has. And the scope of the cross-examination should be limited to the direct. At this point, the defense is using this as a fishing expedition to try and find out everything that they may want to know, but that is not the subject of this preliminary hearing. This is a probable cause hearing. That's why we're here. It's not a hearing for the defense to ask every question they may want to ask.
And Judge, when the prosecuting attorney elects to spend 2 hours with a witness going into what I call significant detail about every aspect of this case, at that point, this prosecuting attorney opened the door to allowing me to inquire about all of this stuff. Quite honestly, he doesn't get it both ways. He doesn't get to say, I'm going to have this officer talk in great detail about every facet of this case from the beginning of his investigation through the end all the way to the autopsy and say, oh, Mr. Pryor, I'm now going to object to you inquiring and seeking information about the steps that were taken as part of this investigation from beginning to end. He doesn't get it both ways. It works so that I get a fair opportunity to inquire of this officer. I'm not asking of substance of those witnesses. I understand, and I understand completely the hearsay rules. But quite honestly, Judge, I'm dumbfounded by the fact that he's objecting because I'm trying to find out who this officer spoke to and whether or not those questions and those conversations were recorded. This is not delving into specifics about each of the individual witnesses. I clearly should be permitted to go down this road.
All right, the court's going to take a brief recess here. I'm going to look at one thing that I have a question about. We're going to take 5 minutes, and then we'll go back on the record and proceed with the cross.
All right.
You've been listening to the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any piece of this compelling court testimony as we prepare for the trial of Lori Daybell in the coming weeks. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.